And our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day. Thank Thee for this new year that we're entering into. And our Father, as we look to Thee for grace, just like we look to Thee for the last year, for all the need, and our Father, how graciously You supplied every need according to Thy riches and glory. And we thank Thee that we can trust Thee and look to Thee by faith. Thank You for faith to look and believe, and knowing that You're going to carry out Your purpose this year until You come back again to receive Thy people. And it may be this year that You'll come back. We're looking for Thy coming. And our Father, we pray that there'll be thousands brought to know our Lord this year and be ready for the call to come home. Our Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for Your grace. Thank You for Thyself and that for Thy Word. And may it dwell richly in our hearts. May we find ourselves more and more giving thanks for all things. All things. You tell us for all things. Little things, big things. Well, no matter what it might be. Always giving thanks to the Father and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that we have Him as our Lord and Savior. And that is through Him we receive all things. And our Father, we're so thankful this day. Thank Thee for Your blessings. Thank Thee for Thy sufficiency that You undertake for us. Thank Thee when You bring us to our extremity, and that the power of God will rest upon us. Thank Thee, our Father, when You deliver us day by day from sin, from Satan, from his temptations, the world, and everything. And Lord Jesus, to know that You satisfy us, and You tell us that You have pleasures forevermore at Thy right hand, and we found it out, and we're still finding it day by day. There are pleasures at Thy right hand forevermore. And our dear Heavenly Father, work of grace in each and every heart here this morning and throughout radio land. Bless Thy people. We look to Thee for an awakening. Our Lord Jesus, only Thee can send it, and that Thy people will be humble and broken and not stand in the way of Thy awakening, of our loved ones coming to know our Lord. We do look to Thee for grace, just to be humble and to be obedient and to have our hearts cleansed from everything, that the Holy Spirit will have His way in our midst here this morning and out in radio land, each and every heart. Now lead us and keep us in this broadcast and this service, and we'll give Thee all the praise and honor and glory. For Christ's sake, we ask it all. Amen. Amen. Thank You. Now, you give us unto the Lord as the ushers come around. Give your offering, your tithes for the work of the ministry. Now, we will turn to number 227. Number 227, to God be the glory for all that He did for us in the past and today, this year. To God be the glory. say that? Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord with me. Come on, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. Great things He's done for us here. Been doing through the years. And greater things He holds for us in the future. For this new year of 1978. Yes, we had a good year last year. The Lord gave us, supplied our need. Not all our wants, but our need. Took care of us here. This ministry, the gospel's still going out, and I'm looking forward to greater things this year. And I hope you have that same feeling in your heart, that we walk together with those same feelings, expectations in the Lord. Well, we got much to praise the Lord for here. You got much to praise the Lord for. You ever praise the Lord? You ever praise the Lord in your home, in your meditation? Just sit there and just praise the Lord. It make a difference with you. Just get to think about all the Lord's done for you. Thank you for your family, your home, for health, for strength, even for sicknesses, trials, tribulations. Thank Him for the gospel. Thank Him that you're under the truth. Praise Him for it. And that He's dealing with your heart, His promise, His word. Because you have so much to praise the Lord for. But people just grumble, grumble, grumble. Instead of praise, praise. Now let's sing number 398, Scattering Precious Seed. Number 398, everybody stand. 398, Scattering Precious Seed. Be seated. Sowing the precious seed at morning, noon, and at night. Yes, we have it going out from here and by the printed page, the tapes. And I just praise the Lord that it doesn't seem like to me, I just wonder if we're doing anything. And yet, the Lord is blessing His Word as it's going out. I know many times I wonder, I see myself so insignificant. If I'm doing anything, accomplishing anything, but the Lord is accomplishing all for His glory and getting the truth out. Now, I've asked the choir to sing number 263, "Ye Must Be Born Again." That's my message this morning. 263.
as scriptural.
Ye must be born again. And that's my message this morning. Thank you, choir. Thank you for that. That's a gracious number. Ye must be born again. If you will have eternal life, you must be born again. That's the Word of God. It's not man's word. You don't learn these things in books and in the schoolrooms, but in the Word of God, the Holy Bible. Ye must be born again. Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Have you been born again from above? And so we'll, with God's help this morning, we'll bring you this message. I want us to turn to the third chapter of John. The Gospel of John, the third chapter. It's good to see this audience here. I know many of our folks are out of town and some are sick, cannot be with us, but they're listening into us. I'm glad to have so many people listening into us by radio and how the Lord is blessing His Word. Now, the third chapter of John, we read the discourse the Lord had with Nicodemus. Let's begin with the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, that is Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things, these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And then in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse, let me read that to you. Unless you want to turn, all right. The 2nd chapter, the 2nd Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and let's read what the Apostle Paul has to say here in that 14th verse. Listen to the Word of God. The 5th chapter, 2nd Corinthians, the 14th verse, For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now let's stop right there with the reading of the Scripture and go into our message. I want you to listen to what I have to say to you this morning. In being born again, you must be born again. Now let me say this in the beginning. Life is the greatest possession of all possessions. From death to life is the mightiest of all changes. And no change short of this will ever avail to fit man's soul for heaven. Now, salvation, or being made a new creation in Christ, is not a little mending. Now, mind you, an alteration. Mend our lives. Alter our lives a little. A little cleansing and purifying. A little painting and patching. A little turning over a new leaf and putting on new outside. That is needed. Now, it's not that which is needed. It is the bringing, now let me say this, it is the bringing in of something altogether new. The planting within us of a new nature, a new being, a new principle, a new mind. This alone and nothing less than this will ever meet the necessities of man's soul. We need not merely a new skin, but we need a new heart. If you're ever to be saved, you must be given a new heart. Man requires the grafting in of that which he never had before. He needs a change as great as a resurrection from the dead. He must become a new creature. If you're ever saved, if you ever want to go to heaven, you must become a new creation. All things must pass away. Yes, it is imperative. You notice the words, must. Ye must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. All things must pass away, and all things must become new. You understand what I'm saying this morning? You understand what the Word of God is teaching us? Now, what does that mean? Old thoughts, old principles, and old practices are passed away. Our form of prejudices, opinions, habits, they pass away. Our supreme love of self passes away. Our love of sins passes away. Our love of the world passes away. Our pride and ambition passes away. And that's what it means. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. In other words, there is a deep and radical change which begins at the new birth, which is carried on by progressive sanctification, and which is consummated at death and in heaven. And I know well this is a hard saying. As many said when they followed our Lord, when He turned to them and told them what it would cost them to follow Him, and that they had to eat of His flesh and drink of His blood if they would have eternal life. Many turned around and said, you know, that's a hard saying. Who can know it? It's a hard saying. I know the children of this world dislike to hear that they must be born again. So many, some of you here this morning, out in Radio Land, you don't like to hear that. You would that you could go on carrying on like you've always done, and without having to be made a new creation and have new habits and new joys and new principles, new things. You don't like to hear that you must give up this and give up that to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I know it pricks their consciences. It makes them feel they are further away from heaven than they are willing to admit. But my brothers and sisters, if you're not saved, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, how far you are from the kingdom of heaven, from entering therein. You are far away. The Lord Jesus declares in Matthew the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." My friends, that's the Word of God. It needs repeating, and I would that you hear it. You might have heard it for the first time today, but may the Holy Spirit cast us down deep in your heart. Listen to the Word of God. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. How many people are willing to stoop to enter this narrow door? How many of you are willing to stoop and become lowly and humble and obedient in order to enter this door? Yes, it is very narrow, very small, has a small entrance into it, and you have to unharness everything in order to enter therein. All of your worldly pride, all of your esteem, all of your prestige, all of your ambitions, everything has to be laid low. All of your haughtiness, your covetous spirit, your worldly spirit, all that has to flee before you can be low enough to enter into that straight gate and that narrow door, that narrow way. But notice, some people are just so full of pride. But they've been under the ministry, under the preaching of the gospel for years, and you're so full of pride. So full of pride that pride must go. Obedience must take the place of pride before you can enter in. How many would gladly make the door wider or climb in some other way? How many would like to make that door wider? You could bring in all of your possessions and everything with it, all that you have. But my friends, you can't do that. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. There must be a searching for it. And you have to let go of the world. You must let go of your sins. You must let go of your covetousness, your pride, your prejudices, your rebellion. You must let go of your self-righteousness. And we have people listening to me today, you're just as self-righteous as can be. You've got a head full of knowledge and nothing in the heart. Let me not compromise with your soul for one moment. I'm not going to foster a delusion and tell people they only need to repent a little and stir up a gift they have within them in order to be saved. The only language I dare use this morning, is the language of God's Word, the Bible. Words which are written for our learning. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're all naturally dead and must be made alive. Let me illustrate. Manasseh, king of Judah, at one time filled Jerusalem with idols and murdered his children in honor of false gods. When the Lord got a hold of him, he purified the temple, he put down all idolatry, and lived a godly life. Zacchaeus, the publican of Jericho, at one time cheating, plundering, and covetous until he met Christ. Now we see him following Christ and giving half his goods to the poor. And how many others who have lived a life of sin and wickedness, living in fornication, left all to follow Christ? There was the great Apostle Paul who fought and preached earnestly against the truth as it is in Jesus till he met the Lord. Afterwards, he began spending and being spent, even to death for the cause of Christ. Would you say that these changes were nothing more than mending and alterations, and that they just reformed their ways or had turned over a new leaf? I say in all these cases, there was nothing less than a new birth. Now, if you are not saved, you need the same kind of change. It doesn't matter whether you are an Englishman, a Russian, a Chinese, an American, or whatever nationality you are, there must take place in your heart and life a radical change. You must be born again, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're black or white. You must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you been born again? Are you born again? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Holy Spirit conviction? Have you been brought down as a poor sinner in repentance? Laid flat at the feet of Christ, low at the feet of Christ, begging for mercy? Only then can you experience the new birth. Man's heart is the same everywhere. Their customs and their colors, their ways and their laws, they all be utterly unlike. But the inner man is always the same. Their hearts all alike at the bottom, all stony, all hard, all ungodly, all needing to be thoroughly renewed. And that's the case of some of you who are listening to me at this hour. Some of your hearts are still stony. They're hard. Now, how do you know? I can look in your face and tell. And someone mentioned to me the other day and said, "Pastor, the Lord has given you a spirit of discernment. I won't tell you what I mean, but he has, and you can't fool me." Now, you can put on all you want and portray a Christian. You might be in the working. But I could be with you a few minutes and easily discover whether you're saved or lost. And there's some that I know, a couple of people, you say you're saved, but your face is hard. Your heart is stony. Therefore, you cannot be saved. Because when God saves you, He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new heart. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're not fooling anyone but yourself. That's right. Every man by nature has a stony heart. And if you're not saved, if you've never been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a stony heart. You have a hard heart. And no wonder you hate the gospel. No wonder you hate this ministry. No wonder you hate this pastor and you ignore him. It's because your heart is stony. It's hard. No wonder you say things about me behind my back, and you can easily tell others. It's because your heart is stony. You've never been saved. You don't know anything about salvation. I don't care who it is. ungodly, and you need to be thoroughly renewed. The American and the heathen in the jungles of Africa, they stand on the same level in this matter. All have hard hearts by nature, stony hearts. Both are children of the same father, Adam, who fell by sin. And both need to be born again and made children of God. You need to be born again. So stop covering up. Stop covering up a wicked heart, a hard heart, and cast yourself and cry unto the Lord to break that stony heart of yours. If we are ever saved, our eyes need to be opened, because by nature we are blind. You get it now? Which naturally means we never see our sinfulness, our guilt, and the danger that we are in. Our understandings need to be enlightened, because our understanding's darkened by nature. And how can the glorious light of the gospel penetrate that darkness? So it has to be enlightened by God's Holy Spirit. One who is blinded knows nothing of the plan of salvation. Like the builders of Babel, we plan to get to heaven our own way. I wonder how many are thinking that way this morning. Well, I'm getting to heaven my own way. I had a man to tell me that one day, and I told him he'll never make it. Unless you come through the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never make it to heaven. Unless you humble yourself and become obedient, you'll never make it to glory land. And then the will has to be broken, or else we could never choose the things which are for our peace. We would never come to Christ unless that will is broken. That will is stifled against the will of God. That will is self-will, self-purpose. And until that will is broken, you can never come to Christ, because your will is the will against coming to Christ. Will on having your own way. Are you in that condition this morning? Have you built up a self-righteousness there, and you're esteemed in your own eyes? And you're satisfied with your little religion, your little painting, your little patching? Like the Lord tells us in the Gospels, new wine is poured into new bottles, not into old bottles. And go try to patch up what you have. You ever take an old garment? It's all torn and shabby and ready to fall apart. Try to put on a new piece on that garment. Well, the rift gets wider, doesn't it? It won't hold. No, it just won't hold. And that's what some people have been doing, trying to patch up. Trying to live righteous in your own eyes and make yourself esteemed before others. And your own self-righteousness. Not coming to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and know the righteousness of God which comes by faith in Christ. Yes, let's go a little further now. If you are ever saved, your affections need to be turned to things above. How many set their affections on things below, on things that are earthly, sensual, short-lived, and full of vanity? If you want to be saved, pride must give place to humility, self-righteousness to self-abasement, carelessness to seriousness, worldliness to holiness, unbelief to faith. Satan's dominion must be put down within us, and the kingdom of God set up in us. Self must be crucified, and Christ must reign. Till these things take place in our lives, we are dead as stones. Now, this may sound like foolishness to some, but you ask the person who has been there, who was once dead in trespasses and sins and was made alive by God's Holy Spirit. Many of you who are saved could tell us that you know it all by experience, and that you do indeed know yourself to be a new man in Christ. You love the things that you once hated, don't you? And now you hate the things that you once loved. Once you loved sin, now you hate it. And you love the things of the Lord. You love. So you see, that's what the new creation does. You have new habits. Now you get it. You have new habits. You have new companions. You don't run around with the same old crowds. Your drinking crowds. Your crowds, worldly crowds. You're not running here and there no more. No. You have new companions now. All right? You have new ways. New ways about you. Your ways have changed. New tastes for things. Things spiritual. New feelings one for another. New opinions. New sorrows. You have new joys. New anxieties. New pleasures. New hopes. Don't you? You're saved. In short, you are a new creature in Christ. Even our relations and friends can bear witness to the change. Whether they like it or not, they would be obliged to confess we were no longer the same. No, you're no longer the same, Herman. What happened? You used to run around with us. You used to come to our parties. You used to laugh and joke like I had someone to tell me. You changed. That happened not long after the Lord saved me. You're not the same. No, because something has taken place on the inside. A new life, new principle, new hopes, new joys, new companions, new environments. You see, everything changes. New habits. A new way of talking. Even I, well, so whether they like it or not, they would be obliged to confess we are no longer the same. If I were the same, there'd be something wrong with me. I'd never been born again. Never born again by the Spirit of God. If I'm still living the same, if I'm living the same life today as I lived 25 years ago, all the time professing I was saved, sure sign I was never saved. Never born again by the Spirit of God. Well, believer, let me speak to your heart. There was a time when you thought yourself to be not so great a sinner, that you were all right, and that you were no worse than others. Now, since the Lord quickened, that is, made you alive, you can say with the Apostle Paul, I feel myself to be the chief of sinners. Do you? And I know you could say with the Apostle Paul, I'm the least of all the saints. How many of you feel that way? Once you did not consider you had a wicked heart. You felt like you had your faults like everybody else. And if you were led away by bad company and temptations, still you had a good heart at the bottom of it all. Well, that's the way we think by nature. But you ask the saint what he knows about a wicked heart, and he will tell you it is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There was a time, believer, that you thought you had only to repent and say a few prayers and do what you could in order to get to heaven, and Christ would make up for what was lacking. Now, since God saved you, and you know the way to heaven is narrow, and few find it, you are convinced that left to yourself, you could never have made peace with God. You are persuaded that nothing but the blood of Christ could wash away your sins. Your only hope is to be justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 3:28. Well, once we could see no beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Isaiah proclaimed over in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, we see no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. No. No, you have no eyes to see beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ before God opens your eyes, quickens you, makes you alive. So many despise Christ today. So many ignore the message, want nothing to do with Him. To be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ and His despised few. Well, they're not saved. And I can understand that. And one time I couldn't see any beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could not understand how others could rejoice so much in the Lord. I see my pastor rejoicing and others praising the Lord. And how could they give their time and be spent for the Lord and always singing and praising and talking about the Lord? I could not understand that. Naturally, you can't do it. Now, if you're not saved, if you're not awakened, I thought it was just a lot of nonsense and foolishness. And I just wonder what in the world happened to these people. That's the way I thought until the Lord opened my heart. Now we can tell you that He is the pearl of great price, the chiefest among 10,000, our Redeemer, our Advocate, our High Priest, our King, our Great Physician, our Shepherd, our Friend, our All and in All. Once we thought lightly about sin, now sin is the abominable thing which we hate, the sorrow and burden of our lives. Believers long to be more holy, and like Whitfield, we can say, I want to go where I shall neither sin myself nor see others sin anymore. Once we found no pleasure in the means of grace, the Bible was neglected. Now you get it. Our prayers, if we prayed at all, were a mere form. Choir practice was a humdrum sort of a thing. I don't blame you for quitting. Monotonous. That's right. I don't blame people for quitting the choir if it's a monotonous thing to you. It sort of shows there's something wrong there, my friends. You need a new heart. You need a new nature. A new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sunday, we thought it was a tiresome day. Sermons were a weariness. And how often did we sleep through them? Like some of you sleep through the messages. Like you always have. Now all is changed. These things are the food, the comfort, and the delight of our souls. Isn't that so? If you're saved. Once we disliked earnest-minded Christians, we shunned them, thinking they were beside themselves. Now they are the salt of the earth, and we love to be in their company. The believer feels that if all men and women were saints, it would be a heaven upon earth, wouldn't it? Once we cared for this world, its pleasures, its business, its occupation, and its reward, now we look upon it as an empty, dissatisfying place, tending for a night, a training place for the life to come. Our treasures are in heaven. Our home is beyond the grave. This, my friends, is the new life in Christ I am speaking thereof. This change, as I have described, is no vision or fairy tale. It is a real, actual thing which only a few in this world have known or felt. It is no picture of the imagination. If this change ever takes place in your soul, then you will see what I am speaking of. You will see the dead made alive, a soul born again by the Spirit of the living God. And I would that such a change would take place in the lives of many here this morning and out in radio land. I know the majority of the people listening to me now know nothing about the new birth, but whether it be common or not, one thing I say plainly, this is the kind of change that is needed to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I do not hold that all must have exactly the same experience. I allow most fully that the change is different in degree extent and intensity in different persons. But I do confidently affirm we must all go through something of this kind if we are to be saved. Till this sort of change has taken place, there is no life in us at all. We may be living church members, but we are dead spiritually. Have you experienced the new birth? Are you born again from above? Remember, no salvation without a new birth. Now we come to the end of our message, and we must leave you in radio land. The rest of this message will be on tape. If you like to have the 7-inch reel, you can have it for $2, or the cassette tape, $1.50. And here is next Sunday morning over the Voice of Truth broadcast from 7 till 8 over this station, the one you are now listening to. Until that time, this is Pastor Gayo saying goodbye and God bless you. Now, just in closing remarks here, remember, no salvation without a new birth. Now, we have some idea of the gulf there is between the man who is a true believer indeed and truth, and the one who is a Christian in name only. So are you a Christian, a professed Christian in name only? Or are you a Christian indeed and true? There's a difference. It is not the difference of one being a little better and the other a little worse, but it is the difference between a state of life and a state of death. The one who lives unto God and shall live forever, the other, with all his intellect, is still dead in sins. Now, in closing this message, let me now say a word to the believers. You that have passed from death to life, what praise and thanksgiving should flow from your hearts to God. Remember what you once were by nature. Remember that. Look back from the hole you've been digged. Look back where God found you. Think what you are now by God's grace. And then, in closing, I want to read a scripture over in 1 Corinthians. If you turn in your Bibles with us, 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, just another reminder, the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with the 9th verse, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God." And listen to the 11th verse. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Let us bless the Lord for His grace. Yea, His free distinguishing grace upon us who are saved. Oh, that you knew the distinguishing grace of God in your heart and life, and that you can be rejoicing with God's people and having that knowledge, knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must be born again. You must be born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. He must be made a new creation in Christ Jesus if you ever enter into heaven. I wonder how many in this audience you're truly born again. you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ in reality. If you do, you have a broken heart. You have a loving spirit, a tender spirit, a gracious spirit, a wonderful spirit. That's right. But I know, like I said earlier, I know some who say they're saved, but let me walk into their company and their presence, and there's a barrier there. They throw up a barrier. Are you saved? Sure, I'm saved. Now, mind you, that's not the language of a Christian. Sure, I'm saved. Like one of our friends over in Arley, Alabama. We had an evangelist here. He went over there to visit with them, to preach to them. And the man asked this evangelist one day, said, "Tell me how God saved you." And the evangelist said, "It's none of your business how God saved me." That was a dead giveaway. Christians do not talk like that. But a Christian would be glad to give his testimony, how God saved him. And he won't be rough in doing it. That's not the spirit of the Lord. Sure, I'm saved. The Christian has a kind spirit, tender spirit,